Good morning. Good to see so many friendly faces out there. I haven't seen a few in a while. Nice to see Tom Sutton here this morning. And nice to meet a bunch of new people that I have never met before. We're glad you're here today. And I hope that I can bring a message in the next few minutes to you that will edify you and lift you up and instruct you in the Lord. I really appreciate Robert's efforts today at the Lord's table to get us to focus in on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is why we're here. That is what it's all about. And that's our faith, and that's our hope, and that's our love. I spend a lot of time, as you know, down at the prison studying with guys. And it's very interesting to discover, and not unexpected, but interesting nevertheless, to discover that a lot of these guys don't understand how to have a relationship with God because they never really had a very good relationship with their own father or even their own mother. A lot of them come from broken homes, and they have never really trusted anybody in their lives. They've been very independent, very self-sufficient in their own way. It didn't work very well for them, obviously, but that's the way they've lived. And a lot of times they have a difficult time once they become a Christian trying to understand how to have a relationship with God. What does that look like? What do I do? How do I think? Because they don't have a good frame of reference. You know, God is our Father. And our earthly Father oftentimes is our first understanding of what it means to be a father. And when we don't have a relationship with our earthly Father, a good, strong, loving relationship with our earthly Father, then it may hinder us, in the beginning at least, in understanding how to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so I've been trying to think about that and study about that and try to advise and counsel on that. So I thought I would share some words with you today about how to think about God and have a relationship with God based upon Him being our Father and how much He enjoys having a relationship with us. Because I think that's a lot of times what these guys explain to me is that they never got the sense that their Father really enjoyed having a relationship with them. He was either very hard on them or He wasn't there at all or so on. Just never really understood what it looked like to have a relationship with their Father or to have their Father enjoy having a relationship with them. We're supposed to, as Christians, understand that we call upon God as Abba, Father. We have that kind of warm, loving, affectionate relationship with God because He has adopted us as sons. So how do we think about that? How do we understand God's emotions? Is one question I've asked them to think about. You know, do you understand that God has emotions? Do you understand that He feels things? And so focus in on those things in your study of God, in your study of the Word of God, I've been advising them. Focus in on God expressing the way He feels in His relationship with His children. So I thought we'd look at Job chapter 22 first and foremost this morning to see how wrong we can be about our understanding of God. This is Eliphaz, one of Job's quote-unquote friends, and he is confronting Job and insisting that Job must be a sinner, otherwise these things would not be happening to him. And look at Eliphaz's understanding of God in Job chapter 22. It says that Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "Can a man be profitable to God?" And he's looking for the answer, no. That's why he's asking it. He assumes that a man can't be profitable to God. And then he says, "Surely he who is wise is profitable to himself." So it's good to be wise because that helps you. But do you think that's of any profit to God? And then he goes on to say in verse 3, "Is it any pleasure to the Almighty if you are in the right? Or is it gain to Him if you make your ways blameless?" And again, he's looking for the answer, no. That's how he sees God. It's no profit to God. God doesn't take any pleasure in it if you're right or if you make your way blameless. And then he goes on and says, is it for your fear of him that he reproves you and enters into judgment with you? I mean, do you really think that your fear of God is pleasing him? No. That's his answer. Is not your evil abundant? There is no end to your iniquities, for you have exacted pledges of your brothers for nothing and stripped the naked of their clothing. You've given no water to the weary to drink, and you've withheld bread from the hungry. Eliphaz is assuming all these things about Job. He doesn't know these things. He's just assuming them because what Job is going through must be a result of his wickedness and his sin. But I just find it very interesting that he asked these questions. His understanding of God was very deficient. And God makes a point of revealing to us in the Scriptures that he takes pleasure in us. In Psalm 147, you don't need to turn there. I'm going to read a few Scriptures probably pretty quickly this morning for sake of time that you don't need to turn to in your Bibles. But if you'll just follow along, I think you'll get the idea. Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Pretty easy to understand that. Now let's just accept it and believe it. Psalm 149 and verse 4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. I take pleasure in my son, my sons, my daughter, my wife, my family, my brethren. God takes pleasure in us. God enjoys us. In Zephaniah 3 and verse 17, the prophet said, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. That might not have been the way you felt about your earthly father or that you thought your earthly father felt about you. But that's what your heavenly father says about you. That's how he feels about you. He delights in you. He takes joy in you with songs. In 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 17, David, when he was after having asked the people to contribute all kinds of things for the building of the house of God, he's worshiping God and he says in verse 17, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I've willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I've seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. So I'd like you to think that way. I think God wants us to think that way, that we give him pleasure, that he enjoys us. Now, if we believe that, then doesn't that motivate us a little bit more to seek to please him, knowing that he does take pleasure in us? Doesn't it motivate us all the more to have a close relationship with him, to call upon him, to communicate with him? He takes pleasure in us. He enjoys us. Like we enjoy our relationships with people that we love, our Father enjoys his relationship with us. And that's what I decided to be the title of this morning's lesson, if I had remembered to actually get it started here. The title of this morning's lesson is, very simply, it's coming. God enjoys his relationship with his children. If we would just remember that, it would motivate us very greatly to please him and to seek to please him. And I've read all of these passages to you already. Let's move to the first point. Just a few things to observe about how God enjoys his relationship with us. The Bible says that he fully enjoys giving us all good things. And I'd like you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and read with me verses 24 through 26. If you have your Bibles open and you want to turn there, read with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. This is a book that is very well known for mentioning the futility of life and the meaninglessness of life and the vanity of life. And it is viewed by some people as a very negative book, but actually it's not. It's a very positive book, talking about, yes, the futility of life without God, of life under the sun without God is meaningless and futile and vain. But with God, it's filled with pleasure. And here is a passage to show us that. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. God wants us to enjoy ourselves, to eat and drink and find enjoyment in our work. And says in verse 25, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? I mean, think about that. It's all fleeting. It's all meaningless. It's all vanity. But when you're with God, it is sustaining. It is fulfilling. It brings satisfaction. It's not vain and meaningless and empty. In verse 26, he says, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. You think about this, what it's saying is that people all around you who are working and toiling, God is actually using all of that to bless his children. And you think about that, in reality, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of what goes on all around us is it blesses us. It helps us. And God uses that to help us. He provides employment for us, oftentimes through worldly and ungodly people. Right? He provides all kinds of blessings. And so the people who don't know God and who don't please God, their toil is meaningless and vanity and worthlessness. But God uses that to bless his children. So God enjoys giving us good gifts. Look with me in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. And this, I had to put this in here because I love the song that is sung on the basis of this. And so I just had to put it into the lesson. If you know this song, you'll know what I'm talking about. In verse 22 through 27, the Lord spoke to Moses, this is number 6, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. The song that is sung on that is just absolutely a crescendo of beauty and praise to God. Psalm 37 and verse 4, no need to turn yourself there, just to emphasize the point. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God loves to bless us. In Psalm 35 and verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Who has pleasure in the prosperity of God, has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He loves to see you succeed. He loves to see you prosper. He blesses you. He gives you good things because he enjoys that. It makes him happy. Gives him satisfaction. That's our Father. And you can relate to that as an earthly father or one who has an earthly father. Well, mainly as an earthly father. You give to your children and you enjoy. You enjoy that so much. And you watch their happiness and you see their joy and it blesses you. So that's God. That's our Father. That's what he's like. He enjoys his relationship in giving us all good things. Here's another point. He takes a lot of pleasure in watching us allow him to change us to be like His Son. Now that, to me, fits our theme of the fruit of the Spirit. And that passage is in this list here of verses. God takes a lot of pleasure in watching us allow Him to change us into people to be like His Son. That's His goal. I think of Philippians 2 and verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God's working in you for His pleasure, for His will and for His pleasure. And what is His will? And what is His pleasure? In Romans 8 and verse 29, Paul says, for those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul said, be imitators of Me as I am of Christ. 1 John 2 and verse 6, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. God wants us to be like His Son. That's His pleasure. And when we allow Him to do that, and I say it that way intentionally, God does not violate our free will. He commands us to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And He works through the Spirit of God to conform us to the image of His Son, to bear fruit in us that reflects the image of His Son. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's who Jesus is, and many other things as well. And God is working within us to bear fruit through His Spirit in the inner man, as the Spirit works through the Word of God, and as we allow Him by setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. God will not violate our free will. We can be just as wicked and evil as we want to be, and God will not stop us. He'll judge us at some point, but He won't stop us. And we can set our mind on the things of the Spirit and allow Him to change us and become more and more like His Son. And when that happens, it makes Him happy. He takes pleasure in that. He loves that. That's what He's looking for in us. So, I guess what I'm saying is, can you find some joy in knowing that? Can you find some happiness in your relationship with God, knowing that you please Him? Knowing that when you control your tongue in that critical moment, and you bear the fruit of patience, that you are pleasing God? Does that give you happiness to know that? Does that strengthen your relationship with God? To know that that the way you're becoming gives Him joy and happiness? I got to believe that helps me to know that. I know it does. It's a focus. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's something you remember. It's something you think about. You can do it every day. You can think about your relationship with God every day. You can draw near to God every day with that understanding that He takes pleasure in you. He wants to hear from you. He enjoys you. You're becoming more like His Son. And that gives Him pleasure. Here's the third point. God enjoys His relationship with His children when He sees our faithful, obedient hearts. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9, Paul says, we make it our aim to please Him. Whether we're at home in the body or out of the body, we make it our aim to please Him. Ephesians 5 and verse 10 says, you know why I laughed? Because I go home and I get it from that boy right there. He just mocks me to no end from my voice cracking. That's because from the time he was 12 years old to the time he was 16, he took all the mocking for that. All right, Ephesians 5 and verse 10, we try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Paul, in that context, is talking about putting away sin and walking in righteousness. And he says, we're trying to learn, discern, understand what is pleasing to the Lord. So that's our goal. We're trying to please God. And when we do that, God takes pleasure in us. Colossians 1 and verse 10 talks about us walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. That's what God feels when we walk in a manner worthy, he feels pleasure. We're fully pleasing to him. And so I thought of a few things, you know, to mention here that the scriptures make a point of. First of all, sacrificing ourselves to serve. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. So he's talking about you turn away from your own pleasure and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. God really enjoys it when we come here to worship him on his day, not the Sabbath under the new covenant, but the Lord's day. And we set our minds not on our own pleasures, not on our own thoughts, not on our own words, not on our own cares, but on him, and we take our delight in him. And as Daryl prayed this morning, who led the opening prayer? Russell. As Russell prayed this morning, that all that we do would be pleasing to God this morning. That's the right idea. Everything in our heart today is focused on God and on pleasing him. I think of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then he says this, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So next time you're challenged to sacrifice in order to serve, remember that what you're about to do when you make the right choice is making God happy. It's pleasing him. He's getting satisfaction from that. Does that motivate you a little bit more to make the sacrifice? It should. And that's because of your relationship with God. And let me pause here for just a moment to make this point. People always talk about having a personal relationship with God. And they'll say things like this, well, all that really matters is that you have a personal relationship with God. And what are they leaving out when they say that? Usually they say that, here's when they say that. I'll be talking about God's will in a certain area, or certain doctrine, God's truth in contrast to error, in contrast to something that's not correct, that's taught in religion or something, and inevitably, someone will say, well, all that really matters is you have a personal relationship with God. What are they leaving out? How about on his terms? How about with the things that please him? How about that? How about you focus on your personal relationship with God in the sense that you're seeking to please him based upon what he has said and what he wants rather than on what you think or what you decided, or what your church has taught, or what you just assume is pleasing to God. How about that? Then you're pleasing God. And your relationship with God is based on his terms, not on your own. So I find that necessary oftentimes to make that teaching, that instruction, reminder that yes, our personal relationship with God is important, but it's got to be based upon what God says and what pleases him. Here's another area, worshiping in spirit and in truth. This is the one, I guess I got my scriptures out of order in my PowerPoint here. So we won't reread Isaiah 58, but that's what that one was about. Worshiping God in a way that's pleasing to him rather than in a way that's pleasing to us. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10, though, here's God looking at the children of Israel, saying, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. See how God thinks about that? He thinks in terms of pleasure. You have not made me happy. You're offering up these lame and these blind and these sick and you're greedy and your covetousness. Just close the doors. Shut it all down. I don't want any of it. I have no pleasure in that. And so God looks at things that way. He looks at our relationship with Him that way. Are we bringing Him pleasure? Are we bringing God happiness? See how different that is from Eliphaz's concept of God? Does God actually take pleasure in your righteousness? Yes, He does. And that's really super important for you to know and to believe and to trust, because it motivates you to have a closer and deeper relationship with God, which is what it's all about. It's about knowing God. That's eternal life. And Jesus Christ, His Son. And so you got to know God. Have a relationship with Him. Understand your Father and how much pleasure you bring Him. Philippians 4 and verse 18, Paul talks about supporting evangelism. I've phrased it as caring about it. God is very pleased with us when we care about it. I have received full payment, Paul said, and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. God was very happy with their offering that they gave to God's minister, Paul, because God was using that to provide the gospel to the lost. And He was very pleased with the sacrifice that people made in order to provide for that. People cared about that. And that's one of the beautiful things about what I see here in this congregation is there's this, you know, we spend a lot more time here in this congregation on the contribution than anywhere I've ever been in my life. We'll spend 5 to 10 minutes sometimes talking about giving. And you know what? It's not like begging people for money. It's never that. It's never that. It's always about this concept of giving as a reflection of our heart in caring about the lost. Because that's what we spend almost all of our funds on here. I mean, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's got to be like in the 90 percentile of the amount of funds that we spend on support of evangelism, of reaching out to the lost. That's what God is pleased with, us caring about the lost. It's not about building a bigger building or having more programs or having fun and recreation or any of that. It's about seeking and saving the lost. And then here's another one, trusting in prayer. God is pleased. 1 John 3 and verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. God loves to answer our prayers. Whatever we ask. And what do we ask? We ask according to His will, right? And so whatever we ask, we receive from Him. What do we receive? His will. We ask all things according to His will, and we receive whatever we ask for because we do those things that are pleasing to Him. God loves to give us what we ask for. And what are we asking for? His will to be done. And whatever His will is, we're very pleased with that. We're happy for that. God knows best, and we accept whatever answers He gives us. And finally, in this particular point, here's another example of what pleases God. And I know it pleases Him for us to speak and act kindly, because it says in Ephesians 4 that it grieves the Holy Spirit when we don't. So the opposite of being pleased is being grieved. Ephesians chapter 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Do you think you're more motivated to tone it down and to control your tongue and to control your heart and control your bitterness and control your anger when you know that these things grieve God, whom you love? When you think about it in those terms, when you recognize that that's your relationship with God, that you actually, He looks down at you and He wants to be pleased by you. He loves for you to please Him, and He takes great pleasure in you. You will think about those things before you engage in a lot of these things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then one more point. God enjoys and takes great pleasure in